you tonight for our mission team. Lord, for the wonderful things that are going to be happening, another family receiving a brand new home, Lord, plus there's going to be a wedding. I thank you, Lord, for the faithful people here who give each time, and now this home is going to be fully furnished, Lord, because of their faithfulness. Father, I just pray for Steve, Carol, all the team there and back, perfect safety, Lord. And also use them mightily for your glory. We continue to lift up Eleanor, Lord, and Pete and James, and just for healing for their body. And Lord, we do pray over our nation tonight. And we ask forgiveness of our sins, Lord, for not really praying for this nation as we should, for not really being the light of the world, for not really being the salt that preserves the vileness, O Lord, that's in our country. Forgive us. And Lord, tonight, if we do pray, for America to be great again, but in God's way. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this message tonight and upon your people. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Samuel tonight. We're going to be in chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, one of the great, great chapters, of course, not only in the book of Samuel, but in the Bible as well. Tonight, the covenant that God made with David, the Davidic covenant, if you will. And 2 Samuel, you know, as I say each time, is the book about the reign of David as king. Now, we already have learned that he's now, last time, brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He did so the wrong way, but he had the right intentions. And of course, it cost him the death of Uzziah. And as we look at this tonight, let's just go ahead and begin in verse 1. I want to talk to you tonight. The sermon title is, O Lord, Do As You Have Said. Let's say that with me. O Lord, do as you have said. Don't forget that. That's going to be something we're going to embrace toward the end of the message. But let's begin in verse 1 tonight. And now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies all around. And only God can do that. Amen. You know, King David, here he comes into Jerusalem. Saul is dead. He's now the king over all of Israel, meaning the Judah and Israel as well. They're now back. They're united. He's moved the capital, if you will, from Hebron all the way to Jerusalem. He's established himself both politically and militarily. And not only that, he's now, as we learned last week, the Ark of the Covenant is now in Jerusalem. And listen to what the man after God's own heart says in verse 2. He says, oh, that the king said to Nathan, the prophet. That's the first mention of him, by the way. He says, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, dwells inside tent curtains. I'll tell you something. If tonight, if only the church of the living God would be as David. You know, here David is. Hiram came and built him, remember, an incredible palace, not made of stone, which was the normal way, but made of cedar. It was beautiful. It was magnificent. And here God had given him rest, David, from all of his enemies now. He was finally no longer that man of war that he had been. There was a period of rest now for David. And you know what's wonderful? In the midst of all of that, David had everything. He had peace. He was in love with God. He finally was the king over all of Israel. And you know what he did? He did something that the 21st century church, I say this in deep love, I pray that it's not true, but you know, David didn't forget God. Have we? Did you know what I'm saying? He had everything. He was content. He had everything, and yet he was so sad. Here I am. I'm living in this luxury home. I have everything. There's the Ark of the Covenant. It's in a tent, a tent. The presence of God is in a tent. You know, there's a danger in forgetting God. Did you know that? You know, I read a book by Erwin Lutzer not too long ago, When a Nation Forgets God. Excellent book, by the way. You should read it. And, you know, remember what the Bible says, what God said about those who forget him, all the blessing that he has given unto us. He told, when he made covenant with Israel, he told Israel all the way back in Deuteronomy 8:10. Let me just read this lengthy reading to you. It says, God says, when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. And then God says, now beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, by not keeping his judgments or his statutes, which I command you today. And when you have eaten, and when you are full, and when you have built beautiful homes and now live in them, and when your herds and your flocks and they multiply, your silver and your gold, they're multiplied. When you say that I am rich and all that you have is multiplied and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage. He says, don't say in your heart, my power and my might of hand have gained me this wealth. In other words, I earned it. I'm the one that built that home. I'm the one that's everything that I have. It's my genius. It's my ability. It's my wisdom and so forth. He says, oh, man, he says, don't you say that. He said that you've gained this wealth for yourself. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. And may I say that still stands today? And he says that you may establish his covenant. That's what wealth is for. And he says that it may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. Now listen, yes, that is the covenant that God spoke to the second generation. But you know, the fact of the matter is that, boy, we never want to forget God. This certainly applies to us. You know, wealth can be a great blessing or can be a curse to people. Did you know that? Wealth, isn't it amazing how wealth can make a person forget God? I've seen it over the last, all of my ministry. That, you know, I mean, a perfectly wonderful, happy Calvary Chapelite goes out, plays the lottery, becomes a millionaire, and you know what they do? They just leave. No. Praise the Lord. Now, no, listen. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. Boy, that's what I would like. Amen? That's right. Now look at verse 2 again. And the king said to Nathan the prophet, listen, I dwell in this house of cedar, but the ark of the Lord, look, it's over there in that tent. And Nathan said to the king, that prophet now, he says, well, listen, go do all this in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now, he wasn't prophesying to him. He was just agreeing with him, because what a great idea. Who could say that there was anything wrong with that? But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, you go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? Isn't God kind the way he says that? He says, listen, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. And wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from all the tribes of Israel whom I've commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? In other words, God says, I've never asked you to build me anything. Even though God gave the plans for the tabernacle in Exodus, amen? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, now God is prophesying now through Nathan, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you, meaning David, from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I have been with you wherever you've gone and have cut off all of your enemies from before you and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are upon the earth. God says, I took you from the sheepfold, David. You're just a young kid. You were just a teenager, a ruddy-skinned youth is what God called him. Remember back whenever Samuel called him to anoint him with oil. Where did God find you at? You know, have you ever asked yourself and say, that's where the Lord found me. That's where the Lord called me. That's where the Lord, he saved me. What did he take you out of whenever he saved you? Boy, we know he took us out of death. Amen. Out of hell, out of sin. Thank God for that. Made us sons and daughters of God. I'm so thankful for that. Delivered us from the powers of darkness. Translated us out. It says in Colossians 1:13. Oh, listen. Look at verse 10. Moreover, God says, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, now listen to what God's going to tell this covenant he's going to make. He says, also the Lord tells you, David, that he will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. That's speaking, of course, of Solomon. And it says, and I will establish his kingdom. Do you ever ask yourself why God said no to David building the temple? One of the most magnificent temples that has ever been built. When we get over into 1 Kings, it is going to be incredible. The beauty of it, the glory of it. But you know, God says, David, I love you. You're a man after my own heart. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you can't build this temple for me. And you know what's wonderful? The Bible always gives us the answer, okay? Here's the answer from 1 Chronicles 22:8, where God says this, but the word of the Lord came to David, saying, you've shed too much blood, David, and you've made great wars. You shall not build a house, or literally a temple, for my name. Here's the reason, because you have shed much blood on earth in my sight. See, David was a man of war. He was a great military genius. Of course, God is the one who made him that way. But Solomon is the one who's going to end up building the temple. And, you know, David is the one, you know, the plans of the temple. Did you know that God supernaturally gave him the plans of the temple to draw them up that he gave to Solomon? We'll learn that later on. But the fact of the matter is, he says, no, David, you're a man of war. You've shed blood for years after years. And he says, no, there has to be a different kind of man. A man of rest is the only one who can build this temple. And the reason I said that is because it says there in 1 Chronicles 22:9, behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, and I'll give him rest from all his enemies, and his name shall be Solomon. Isn't that God names him right there? For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days, and he'll build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I'll be his father. I'll establish the throne of his kingdom of Israel forever and ever. To be a man of rest means this, not that you're just laying around sleeping all the time. It means that this king would reign, but it would be free from a time of war. You see, God says, no, only a man of peace can build a kingdom. Amen? The Prince of Peace is the one who's reigning today. Amen? Now, look at verse 13. Now, look what he says. And he shall build a house for my name. And God says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom for how long? Forever. If you study back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 2 to 3 or 1 through 3, the whole area actually, do you know what David did? David knew that he couldn't build the temple of God. And so since he wasn't going to be able to build it, he had such great love for God that out of his own wealth that he was storing up all the materials and the silver, the gold, and all of it gave it for the building of the temple. Matter of fact, do you know what it says about David? What he did is he gave 190 tons of silver, 185 pounds of gold, He gave 675 tons of bronze. What are you giving God? What are we giving God? Are we laying up treasure in heaven? Because that's the only place you can lay them up. Amen? That's where it follows you to, is right there. You know, and what was he doing? He says, I'm giving this, why? I am building for the next generation. I pray that's what's in our hearts at this church. Verse 14, God says, and I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commits iniquity, in other words, talking about Solomon, he says, if he will, I'll chasten him, I'll discipline him, I'll train him with the rod of men and with the blows of the son of men. But watch what he says now. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. In other words, that's not going to happen ever again. And your house, David, and your kingdom will be established for how long? Forever before you, your throne shall be established forever. Did you notice that God used the word forever now three times? What is the Lord saying? God in his word, now listen very carefully. God's word to David in this covenant is absolutely unconditional. No matter how many kings after David And they didn't do very well, by the way. You know, no matter how messed up they are, they're not the ones who's going to fulfill that promise anyway. It's God who's going to do it. And so here, we look here, God doesn't place any restrictions, not any conditions of obedience upon the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Not any at all. In other words, the surety of the promises rests solely upon God's faithfulness and does not depend upon David or Israel's obedience at all. That's unbelievable, isn't it? But that is an everlasting covenant that God made with David. I'm going to ask you a question. Does David have a descendant upon the throne of Israel today sitting in the temple? Well, there's not a temple. The temple is all destroyed. So is God, did he lie? No. When you get home tonight, before you go to bed, you know, I'm sure you have your Bible right there on the nightstand, you know, by the light. And why don't you read Psalm 89? It's about the covenant that God made with David. It's a messianic prophecy, if you will. And let me just read a portion of it from Psalm 89:33, talking about David and God. God says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from David, nor allow my faithfulness to fail." Listen carefully now. "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn," God says, "by my holiness, I will not lie." Excuse me. "I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever." Now listen to what God says. "And his throne as the sun before me." Is the sun still here? Yes. "It shall be established forever like the moon." Did you see the moon last night? Wasn't it beautiful? Are you with me? And he says, "even like the faithful witness in the sky." Do you know how powerful that is? God says, okay, my people may fail. They may sin. They may go into be backslidden. They may rebel, and they did. They may even go off into apostasy and worship idols, and they did. But God says, you know what? I'm not going to fail. Everything I tell you is true. And what I have sworn to David will absolutely come to pass. Do you know that God, he doesn't lie to us either. He's faithful to everything he's told us. Amen? Now, let's fast forward, if you will, on this incredible covenant that God's making, because it's affected all of human history, even to the end times. Let's fast forward to when the angel Gabriel shows up there to Mary, and he starts speaking to her in Luke 1:30, and it says, "And Gabriel said to Mary, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus.'" Now listen, Abraham brought by the racial descent of Christ. In other words, he is the son of Abraham as well. Now, but from the son of David came the royal descent of Christ. Does that make sense? Now, so here they are, the angels announcing this to Mary. He did the same thing and told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "You're going to call his name Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sins." And thank God he saved us from our sins tonight. In other words, Mary, you're this child, he's going to be the son of the highest. Listen, and Mary, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Think about that. Can you imagine how she must have felt in her heart? And he goes on to say, "Oh, Mary," in verse 32, he says, "he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest," meaning he's going to be equal with God because he is God. "And the Lord God," here it comes, "will give him the throne of his father David." Mary, he is going to be the king, and he is going to fulfill the covenant that God made with David all the way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, what we're studying tonight. And listen to what he goes on to say. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." That's Israel. He will reign over them not for a few years, but forever. "And the kingdom of his kingdom, there will be no end." Can you imagine a little teenage girl and Mary sits there and says, "I'm going to have a son and his rule, his reign will never, ever end. It'll be for all eternity." Amen. That's what this covenant is about that we're studying tonight. And let me say something to you. It says there again that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. God is not finished with Israel. And for anyone to teach that, and I say that tenderly toward them because I have many pastor friends that do not believe. They believe Israel's finished and so forth, and they're into replacement theology, believing that the church has now replaced Israel and all the promises now come to the church and so forth, that Israel's no more for they rejected their Messiah. That's not true. That's biblically untrue. You can prove it so easily in the scriptures. Let me ask you a question. The angel Gabriel, was he talking to Mary? Was Mary a virgin? Is that a literal scripture that she was a virgin? Well, this scripture here concerning that Christ will reign over the nation of Israel forever and ever is a literal scripture too. And we need to hold on to that. You know, listen, that is so vital because this scripture here confirms that there's going to be a future reign of Christ on this earth at the second coming. Jesus really is going to come back. And of course, we're going to be coming. We're going to come back with him. He's going to take the throne. It says in Jeremiah 23:5, talking about the millennial reign or the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It says, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will raise up, here it is, to David. I'm the promise again to David, a branch of righteousness. Of course, that's speaking of Jesus, the Messiah. And a king shall reign and prosper, execute judgment and righteousness in the earth, all of the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. There is a kingdom coming all the way from 2 Samuel 7, all the way to the end of this age. That covenant is in effect. Amen? And there's a day when Christ is coming and he will rule over all of this earth and he will do so in power and in righteousness. Amen? Wouldn't it be amazing tonight? It's not going to happen, but it would be amazing tonight if the candidates that are debating tonight, I forget their name, Email Queen and This Is Rigged. Deep things we're discussing in our America. I'm just joking, I'm sorry. No, listen, what if they said tonight, wonder if Hillary stood up there and said, listen, here's all we need to do. This is all that we need to do. The only hope for America is this, is that we must return to a righteous lifestyle. Do you think God would do something? Do you think God would intervene? Do you think the glory of God would be revealed in our nation again? Yes. But then, of course, the system is rigged, so we know it's not going to work. Now, Isaiah 9:7, let me read it to you. Of the increase of his government peace, there'll be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, establish it with justice and from this time forward, even forever. You see, this throne, this promise to David is forever and ever and ever and ever. When we come back with the Lord at the second coming of Christ, all the saints, it says, comes back with him. Amen? Here we come. We're going to rule and we're going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years with him. But right now, what are we doing? We're doing what the Bible says and what Paul told the Philippian church in Philippians 3:20 when he said, you know, listen, our citizenship is in heaven from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're waiting on the rapture, amen? Could happen at any time. We just don't know. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, it says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, but to those who eagerly wait for him. Are you eagerly waiting for the Lord? Yes. I mean, you're watching for him. It says he will appear a second time. I love this. Apart from sin for salvation. What does that mean? It means, well, number one, we have already been delivered from the penalty of sin because of Jesus. We've already been delivered from the power of sin. But one day in that day, we will be delivered from the very presence of sin forever and ever and ever. What a glorious day that's going to be. Now look at verse 17. And according to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spake to David, and King David went in and he sat before the Lord. Man, he said, that's amazing. Set before the Lord. And he said, oh, who am I, Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? The incredible reality of the presence of God. You know, David, he just sat there and just sat before the Lord like a friend. And he just said, Lord, and David knew he was there. Amen. And he says, oh, Lord, you know, you've brought me this far. Can you imagine God telling you that, listen, there's going to be a child that's going to be finally coming from your seed, David, and he's going to reign forever and ever and ever. His kingdom will know no end. Would you be in awe? And that's what David was. He sat before the Lord, and he was completely blown away. And he said, so what now more, David? What can I say to you? For you, Lord God, you know your servant. Boy, that's a good word. You know that I'm a messed up man. You know that I'm a man of war. You know that I'm a man of blood. You know everything about me is what he's saying. He says, Lord, I'm at a loss for words. And David goes through now, and he's going to start speaking to the Lord. And he says, for your word's sake, according to your own heart, you've done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there's none like you, nor is there any God beside you. According to all that we've heard with our ears, and who is like your people, Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem and for himself as a people, to make himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds from your land before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations, their gods. For you have made your people Israel, your very own people forever. Now watch this. And you, Lord, have become their God. Verse 25. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house. Look what David says. Establish it forever. Do as you have said. I'm going to speak about that in just a moment. But you know what David did? He literally rested right there on all that God promised. David didn't have to pray that. God already said he was going to do it. Amen? But David did pray that. Why? He was just praying the perfect will of God. He was in agreement with the will of God and so forth. You know what David's last words were? He says in 2 Samuel 23:5, he says, although my house is not much with God or not so with God, yet he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered all things secure, for this is my salvation and all my desire. Will he not make it increase? In other words, yes, he will, because God can't lie. God didn't lie to anyone. Look at verse 26 again quickly. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let your house of your servant be established before. For you, O Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed to this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in your heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord, watch what he does. Your God, your word is what? True. And God's word, all God's word, all 66 books, God's word is always true. Amen? And you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now listen again. Now therefore, let it please you to bless this house of your servant, and may it continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, you have spoken it. And with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Again, now listen to me. This is an unconditional, everlasting covenant that God made with David. I want to ask you a question tonight. We're in chapter 7. Did God know what David was going to do in chapter 11? Did he know that he was going to commit adultery with Bathsheba? Yes. Did he know he was going to be lying? Yes. Did he know he was going to send Uriah out into the heat of battle by Joab so they would withdraw the troops and he was going to be murdered? Yes. God knew every inch of that, every bit of that, and yet he made that covenant with David. You know, that's what's so wonderful as we're studying the book of Romans. Like I said Sunday, Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Amen? You know, David, there he is. He had no idea that in just a few short chapters, he was going to be lying with another woman, a woman that is married. If he had been told that, he would say, there's no way I'm going to do that. But God knew exactly what David was going to do. And you know, the Lord's grace is always so incredible. The Bible tells us in Psalm 130, verse 3, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Well, no one, amen? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. You know, the word mark is an accounting term, meaning to add them up to keep count. Aren't you glad that God doesn't mark them, but he blots them out, amen? And they're gone forever and ever. Now, look again, or look back to verse 25 with me. David says, now, O Lord, the word which you've spoken concerning your servant and his house, establish it forever and do as you've said. It is my prayer tonight, as we always try to make an application from the Old Testament when we're going through it, that, you know, we would cry out the same way and let us believe just like David, where we would say to the Lord, O Lord, do as you have said. Meaning all the things that you have promised concerning me, your church, Lord, do it. Amen? I mean, I go through and I say, oh, Lord, just if you said, like in John 6:37, what did Jesus say? He said, all that the Father has given unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I mean, God will never, ever throw you away. Once he saved you, he has you if you're truly saved. Amen? And I say, Lord, oh, just do exactly as you have said. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? Lord, do as you have said. Reveal that to me. Let that happen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, as Jesus is right this very moment, not in the manger, not on the cross, not in the tomb, as Jesus is this very second, the Bible says, so are we in this world. The Bible tells us, you know, Lord, just like you said in Romans 8:1, therefore there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37 says that we're more than conquerors, amen? Lord, just as you said it, do it. Just whatever you said, Lord, if you said, let it come to pass. He is our provider, amen? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we've sinned, if we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? I believe that. Why? Because God said it. You know, we should be like David. Oh, Lord, oh, here's your, do as you've said. I believe it, Lord. Do it exactly as you've said. What did Jesus tell us about the Holy Spirit? He said, in Luke 11:23, or 13 rather, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, Lord, let it be just as you said. I want the Holy Spirit again. Yes, we're sealed. Overflow me. Baptize me afresh. Amen? See, God's word is all true. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you say this right here? Can you say to this scripture, do as you have said, O God? Let me read it to you. Malachi 3:10. Oh, this is good. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And God says, and try me now on this, or literally test me. The only place in God's word where he says to prove him. He says, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. In other words, that's more than just rain, loved one. That is blessings that are unlimited. Amen? And he says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine shall bear, steal your fruit. You say, Bill, are you going to say something about tithing? No, I didn't say that. I said, can you say that? Can you say, oh, Lord, oh, can you go and say, oh, Lord, yes, do as you have said. When's the last time you proved God, Calvary Chapel, in tithes and offerings? I'm being honest. When is the last time that you've done that? You know, I look at all this and I say, and I know after all these years I read the church's mind, and there's like people in here right now with the shortness of our crowd going, Bill, Bill, Bill. I don't want to hear that verse. I'm free from the law. I'm not under the law. That's old covenant. That's Old Testament. You know, there's no temple anymore. No, but there's the church and there's the temple of the Holy Spirit, us. Amen. No, listen, you're free from the law. You're not under the law. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you free from thou shalt not murder? Are you free from thou shalt not lie? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal? Are you free from that? No, you're not. Neither am I free from that either. Listen, what did God say in his word, Jesus? He said in Luke 6:38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, mineral rolling over, given to your bosom with the same measure that you measure out. It'll be measured back to you. Either that's a true or a lie. Those who sow sparingly also reap sparingly. That's a true, that is a spiritual law. God cannot lie. You know, it always bothers me. And, you know, because I'm not one to talk much about tithing or any giving or any of those things unless it comes up in Scripture. But, you know, the thing is, don't you think it's strange that pastors or people that teach God's Word have to encourage God's people to give? Isn't that amazing? You say, Bill, now I feel that you're going someplace with this. Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm going to say something to you that I very rarely ever say. And I say it with a clear conscience and a conscience that I know is at peace with God. You know, when you look out at the church today, the things that are happening, you know, I sometimes am in a miss. I try to discern, you know, the Bible says a wise man discerneth the evil day and hides himself from it. You know what I mean? The ones that don't do that, they're punished, you know. And so, you know, to discern the time that we're living in, to understanding the spirit of the church, to understand the attack against the church. But it is amazing to me when I sit and see this church, which is a very well-taught church. I'm not saying that because of me. I have nothing going for me. I know where my help comes from, believe me, okay? But, you know, we had about, for example, I'm talking about, oh, Lord, do as you have said. We had, nearly 600 people, I guess, Sunday in the services. I want to ask you a question. Out of the 600 people in our services, how many people do you think gave unto the Lord? Just give me a number. 200, okay. Give me another number. 60, give me another number. 10? You just won a trip to Hawaii? Out of all the people on Sunday, whenever I get a report on how much money or tithes and offerings come in every week. I don't know who gives, I just know how much comes in because that's how I look at the budget of the church. Did you know out of that all the people, nearly 600 people on Sunday, only 53 people, I don't know who they are, I call them units, 53 people gave to Christ. 53 people worshiped God with their tithes and offerings. 53 people. Does that bother you? No, I mean, does it bother you? Well, I'll tell you who it bothers. It bothers Almighty God. And I mean that with all my heart. Never should a pastor, you know, I believe like Pastor Chuck taught me, where God guides, he provides. Maybe God is not guiding right now. Maybe he's not guiding you right now. I'll tell you that this church needs to be a giving church because that's the only way it's ever going to make it. Amen? To do the things and the work that God has for. Bill, are you finished on that? No, I could keep going. Let me give you one more thing because people always say, Bill, I'm free from the law. Did you know that tithing precedes the law by 430 years? Did you know that? It precedes it by 430 years, and neither was it instituted by the law, nor was it terminated by grace. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? There's a day coming, and we're going to all go to heaven. And the things that we've done for the Lord, you know, I never want to be called a God robber. Never. I never want to be saying I stole from the Lord. You know, God says, all I want is just what I've already supplied you. Give me this much back. And it's for the Lord. You know, whenever you give, I want to tell you something. If you're not worshiping God with your tithes or your offer, whatever you feel that God wants you to do, if it's not a form of worship, if you just think you're just giving to the church, you're wrong. You're giving unto God. Does that make sense? Well, Bill, I don't believe that. Well, then you read Matthew 23:23, and you read Hebrews chapter 7, and you'll find out who you're giving to. You're giving it unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. That's why there's such a weakness in the body today, is because we're not giving of what he's already given us, nor are we serving him. But I feel pretty good about saying these things tonight. Thank you, Lord. One day we're going to go home. We're going to be at heaven. He's going to be on the throne. You know what he says? Jesus said at the very end, you know, of the book of Revelation. Let me read it to you if you don't mind. Revelation 22:16, it says this, I, Jesus, it only appears here in the Bible right there, in the book of Revelation, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify or bear witness to you these things in the churches. Now listen to what he says. I am the root and the offspring of David. There's the covenant all the way to heaven, the one we're studying tonight. He said, listen, I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm your king, and I brought David into existence. He says, I am the God man, and I came from his royal line because of the covenant that God made with him all the way back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You know, I look at that, and what does God say? He says, here's what the Lord Jesus tells us. He said, I am the bright and morning star. You know what the bright and morning star does? Do you see it when you go on your walk? The bright star, the morning star. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I see, isn't it beautiful? It's so bright. Do you know what it announces? It announces that daylight or the dawn is coming. In other words, the light is about to start shining all over again. It announces the arrival of day. Loved one, I'm telling you right now that we need to wake up because there is a new day that will dawn shortly. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. You know what Jesus wants us to know? There's a new world coming. What does he say in Revelation 21 when he talks about how dwelling? He says, I sit on the throne. He says, behold, I make all things new. That is going to be a glorious moment. The only thing that we can do on this planet is be obedient to the Lord, not only in our giving, not only in our serving, but also in loving one another. Boy, that is a great key. And that is also the great commandment, isn't it? To love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it's all about. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you're sick and tired of things, why don't you go to the one who won't make you sick and tired? I mean, you know, if you feel I'm empty in this life, why don't you get on your knees then and start praying and open up your Bible and go to the one who will change that? Amen? That's what it's all about. Listen, God says this, I'm closing. He says in Isaiah 55:1, he says, ho, everyone, that's a universal invitation, by the way, ho, everyone who thirsts. He says, come to the waters. If you don't have any money, he says, come buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk and without money and without price. All those are pictures, the milk, the water, all that are pictures of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit, it produces in us that love, that peace, that joy, that long-suffering, that patience. Oh, that's what is needed today. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the word tonight. And Lord God, I thank you that this church is going to rise up and be a faithful church, a stewardship of their finances. And that, Lord God, they give unto you, they worship you. And Lord, I pray that they do so. I pray that there's not one person ever in this fellowship that's called a God robber or one that would steal from you, Father. And Lord, I also pray that those who cannot give without a merry heart or a cheerful heart, God, forgive them and help them, for you love a cheerful giver. And your will, Lord, It takes funds to accomplish your will on this earth. Thank you for touching your people and for rebuking your people, Lord, rebuking this church. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you tonight. We love you. We love your word. Every illness that may be in our midst tonight, I ask you to touch those that are sick. I ask you to heal their bodies. I ask you to break the spirit, that religious spirit that's trying to take a stronghold in this work that we're calling Calvary Chapel. That, Lord God, there's no place for religiosity. There's no place for legalism. There's only place for a living, ongoing relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And may he have free liberty and reign in this place called Calvary Chapel. I ask you to bless your people. I ask you to prosper your people. Lord God, and I pray, don't let them get weighed down in debt. Credit card debt, oh God, and all the rest of the stuff the world tries to put on them where they can't even pay their bills. Don't let that happen, Father. Give them wisdom against all that. Help them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, aren't you glad you came tonight? Well, I'm glad three of you. That's all I needed. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Let's stand to our feet. Now, if you rush home safely, you'll be able to watch the dynamic duo confuse you just a little bit more. They're really going to help you vote, aren't they? They're going to help you make your decision, aren't they? I tell you who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Jesus Christ. He's the one I look to. He's the answer to all my needs. Amen. That's who I want. I don't need any other rulership. None at all. He turns the heart of the king any way he desires. Amen. God is so good. We're going to sing to the Lord. We're going to go home. You need prayer. There'll be people here to pray with you. God bless each and every one.